Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us immensely and tremendously to allow us to live through another month of Ramadan. We're congregated here on the 29th night of Ramadan. We were just making dua, you know, a month ago, that Allah allow us to witness another Ramadan. And here we are, marking the end of that blessed month. And this is only through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to return back to the house of Allah. And to be in the company and the congregation of believers. مَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِّن بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةِ وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ. That whenever people gather together in the house of God, in the masjid, and they remember Allah, one narration says, يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ. That the courtesy of our dear Shaykh Ramadan, they recite the book of Allah and they study and learn the book of Allah together. That tranquility, serenity descends upon them. The world is in such a state of turmoil. The world is such a difficult place. It is such a challenging place. You know, everyone's got a story. Everyone's got something that they're dealing with. But as Sheikh Abdurrahman mentioned, obviously it's been a bit challenging. And I spend my days, you know, mornings teaching and my afternoons and evenings, you know, with my father in a hospital. And, you know, whenever I go somewhere, then at night, this whole past week for Qiyam, then they're always saying like, oh, thank you for coming and taking out the time. And I try to explain to them that I came because I needed to come. The serenity, the tranquility, the sakina that is acquired here in this gathering is not available anywhere else. It's not available anywhere else. And so this is such a blessing. وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ. Mercy enshrouds them, covers them. وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. The angels surround them. وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ. And God mentions them. Allah mentions us right now. Allah is mentioning us by name to the angels. Look at Fulan. Look at my servant Fulan. Look at my servant Fulana. How they are taking out time to remember me, to worship me, to pray to me, to go to my house for my pleasure, to devote themselves to me, Allah says. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed so many blessings upon us as we're gathered here. Now, there's not really a conflict, but I was thinking a lot about what exactly to speak about here tonight. And I'll keep it short. I won't talk for too much. But I was thinking because we need to reflect and we need a powerful message to connect us to Allah. But at the same time, I don't know. There's the thing that's been occupying my mind and my heart, just like probably all of y'all for the last couple of days, is what we're seeing unfolding with our brothers and sisters in Palestine. What's going on all over the world, so many different places, but particularly what shattered the hearts of believers everywhere was to see the images and the videos of the desecration of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. That sacred place, right? And there is a reflection herein, and I'll get to that. I don't want to bore anyone with things that they already know, but a reminder benefits the believer. Subhanalladhi asra bi 'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. One of the few places that is precise, exact locations that is named within the Quran. That glory be to the one who took his servant, his chosen servant, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Al-Masjid Al-Haram, the sacred mosque in Mecca, ila Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, to the furthest most mosque in Al-Quds, in Jerusalem, in one night. Laylan, in one night. Alladhi barakna hawlahu, that Masjid Aqsa, that we blessed the entire area and region all around it. That is such a sacred place. There are probably many of the brothers and sisters here who are from there. So please pardon me and allow, you know, a simple person to share a few things. I've been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to visit there 3 times. And it is one of the most life-changing experiences I've ever had, every single time. Such a blessed place that you're talking about, where Ibrahim alayhi salam raised a family and built a community, Madinatul Khalil, the remnants of which you see there till today. Ishaq alayhi salam, Bani Israel, the children of Israel. Who is Israel? That is Ya'qub. Ya'qub is the son of Ishaq. Ishaq alayhi salam built his home there. His mother Sarah, his wife Rifqa. Ya'qub alayhi salam raised a family there, from where came the 12 tribes of Bani Israel. Musa alayhi salam, when the end of his life came, he said, "Oh Allah, I want my long-term resting place, my grave, to be a stone's throw away from Baytul Maqdis, from Al-Quds." And the location where he's buried is there, just right outside of Al-Quds. When the Prophet ﷺ was going for Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, he was shown, Jibreel alayhi salam said, "Look," and he was able to see inside the grave of Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam was praying. That is that land. Maryam salamun alayha, from the pious family of Imran, whose mother and father are mentioned in the Quran. إِذْ قَالَتِ امْرَأَةُ عِمْرَانَ. Where are they from? They're from Nasirah, the north. To the north of Al-Quds, the north of Jerusalem. Nazareth, it's called today. They're from there. That's where Maryam salamun alayha was born. That's where she grew up. Biru Maryam, the well of Maryam, is there in Nasirah till today. And then Zakariya alayhi salam, or even before that, Dawood alayhi salam. What was Jerusalem called before? The city of David. Dawood alayhi salam built that city from the ground up. Sulaiman alayhi salam, his maqam is present in the Aqsa compound. The same Aqsa compound that's on fire right now? The same Aqsa compound where there's a fire burning right now? There's a place in the bottom left-hand corner that's called Maqam Sulaiman. It is where Sulaiman alayhi salam stood, leaning on that staff. Ta'kulu min sa'ata, that the Quran talks about, when he commanded the jinns to build Masjid Aqsa, where the Dome of the Rock is. That's that place. Zakariya alayhi salam, great prophet of God, who makes dua at the age of 100 and is given a son miraculously, Yahya, who is a prophet as well. Where did he make that dua? He made that dua inside of Masjid Aqsa. His son was born inside of Aqsa. That's that place. Maryam salamun alayha, where she's eating fruits, sitting inside of her mihrab, worshipping Allah, and fruits are miraculously just descending from the sky. No season, out of regions, fruits are appearing. Where is that? That's in Masjid Aqsa. Isa alayhi salam, the greatest miracle, physical miracle that humanity has ever witnessed. Inna mathala Isa inda Allahi ka mathali Adam. Where was he? He was born in Beit Lahm. Beit Lahm. Right? Bethlehem. Where is that? So close to Aqsa. You want me to tell you something? Bethlehem is so close to Masjid Aqsa that if none of the obstructions that are there, if they were there, you could go from Al-Quds, Jerusalem, to Bethlehem in like 20 minutes. As foreigners with American passports, it took us about an hour and a half. But the heartbreaking thing was, anyone who did not visit before the Nakba, so basically anyone who was like under the age of like 30 in Bethlehem, they are 20 minutes away from Masjid Al-Aqsa. If they were under the age of 30, they had never seen Masjid Al-Aqsa. I had a 30-year-old man in Bethlehem, born and raised there, ask me, how's Masjid Al-Aqsa? I've only seen it on TV. I said, what? Genuine, like disbelief. What? Huh? What are you talking about? No. And then the tour guide explained to me, said they can't go. They have to have special permission. They'll never give them permission. A 20-year-old something male, Palestinian? Never. Ajib. So Isa alayhi salam is born there. The miracles of Isa alayhi salam walking on water, calling fish out of the that's the Tabariya. That's the river that flows through Palestine. All of these things happened there. And then finally culminating in the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the most difficult moment of his life, when he lost his wife and he lost his uncle and Muslims are being slaughtered in the streets of Mecca. Most of the Muslims, 100 of them, are living as refugees, seeking asylum in Abyssinia, East Africa, Ethiopia. And the Muslims are being crushed in Mecca. And the Prophet ﷺ goes to Ta'if that maybe there's some hope there. But then they throw rocks at him and stone him for 3 miles outside of Ta'if till he's bleeding from every part of his body. His sandals are soaked in blood. At this moment, the most difficult moment he's experienced in his life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes him on a miraculous journey. And where does he go? He goes to Masjid Al-Aqsa. He goes to Masjid Al-Aqsa. And he finds such peace, such tranquility, such strength there in Al-Quds, in Jerusalem, in Baytul Maqdis, in Masjid Al-Aqsa. All the souls of all the prophets and messengers ever sent throughout the history of mankind, whether one narration in the Musnad of Ahmad says 120,000 plus. One other narration, Imam al-Tabari mentions it, says 300,000 plus. Allah knows. لِكُلِّ أُمَّةِ الرَّسُولِ وَلِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ had. Every people had a prophet that came to them. Only Allah knows how many. The least we can say, hundreds of thousands. Their souls are all gathered there together in Masjid Al-Aqsa. You know, as a foolish visitor, first-time visitor, I asked the Imam of Masjid Al-Aqsa, do we have any idea, maybe it's been passed down, tawaruth, yani min jilin ila jil, fil ulama, it's been passed down. Do you have any idea where the salah took place? He said, everywhere. Because Aqsa is a compound. And he said, from wall to wall, it could fit about 500,000 people. So he goes, this whole place was covered. This whole place was covered. The whole compound of Al-Aqsa. You know the Dome of the Rock? That's in the compound. Masjid Qibli, that's in the all of it is Aqsa. The whole place was covered with the souls of prophets. Can you imagine the blessing in that place? And I will tell you, I'm a biased party, but I will tell you, when you walk on those stones, you can feel the tranquility in that place. And that's why it shatters your heart to see what's going on there right now. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant honor and dignity to the people of Palestine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant safety and security to Muslims all over the world. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free Aqsa from the clutches of the oppressors. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala return it back to the open, embracing arms of the believers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Grant us tawfiq to never take it for granted ever again. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the guidance and the tawfiq to treasure that, not just that place, but that entire region. So, as a short reflection at the kind of added on to the end of this, a short reflection that I'll share is, I've been asked the question numerous times over the last couple of days. I've been asked in person, I've been messaged this, I've been emailed this every time. You know, it's Ramadan, so at Qalam we're doing a lot of programs online. We have tafsir and this and that going on all throughout the day. Every time we're going live, this question is coming up in the comments. And that is, what consolation can you give us? What comfort, how can we find some comfort in witnessing all of this happen? Because there's a very upsetting feeling. There's a feeling of almost like a helplessness that really is kind of affecting a lot of people watching this. First, you see the violence against our brothers and sisters. You see them being kicked out of their homes. And then you see one of the most sacred, precious things to us in the whole world, Masjid Aqsa, being trampled and bombed. And it just leaves you in a state of just anguish. That's the word I've been feeling, like anguish. What do we do? What can we do? So how do we find some kind of strength, some kind of comfort within this? And I was reminded of something that also happened in the month of Ramadan. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims, everything that I mentioned before, they were tortured in Makkah. They were killed in Makkah. Tortured to death. Sabran ala Yasir sabran. Inna maw'idakum al-jannah. Patience, O family of Yasir, have patience. You will be reunited in paradise. As they're being tortured to death. The family of Yasir, father, mother, and son. They've gone through so much. Muslims are living in asylum. Some Muslims are dead. Some Muslims are having to hide their iman. Muslims are being tortured by their own families. It's such a desperate situation. And then there seems to be a little light at the end of the tunnel. Medina. There's a small farm town to the north of Mecca. There are these humble, poor, dirt poor. You know, dirt poor, they got dirt in their fingernails. Dirt poor farmers, the Ansar, who are saying, welcome, welcome, marhaban, marhaban. Welcome, welcome. You know, everywhere you go in Palestine, their mantra, the thing they say to everyone, they say, ahla wa sahla. Ahla wa sahla. Such a sweet way of saying it. Ahla wa sahla. And so the Ansar, they welcome them. And they go there, but again, it's no parade. It's not like they're like going on some grand, you know, trip. We're moving to Medina. No, no, no. The Prophet ﷺ himself is having to sneak out of his home in the middle of the night while 100 assassins are surrounding his house. He has to hide out in a small crawl space, a cave, big enough for two people to just lie down inside of. If you ever have the himma, if you ever have the willingness, climb the mountain of Thawr, Ghar Thawr. It's not easy. If you went up to Ghar Hira, it's at least twice as difficult. And it's like a crawl space. You can just crawl in there. They have this lit. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the Prophet is thani athnaini idhuma fil ghar. They're in there for 3 days and nights, being hunted down by bounty hunters, 100 camels for each head. And then they have to then sneak out and travel by night through the desert, taking the long route. And then finally arrive into Medina. Most of the people, when they arrived in Medina, they were so sick. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was so sick, he was bedridden for 2 weeks. Him and Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they were both so sick, and they were, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was so sick for 2 weeks, bedridden. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu would not move from his bedside. He just sat there the whole time. They didn't know if he was going to survive or not. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he got there, his feet were so blistered, he couldn't walk. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took his saliva and he made dua. And he rubbed the feet of Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. He rubbed the feet of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu with his saliva. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, my feet were immediately cured, and he said it was so miraculous. For the rest of my life, I could run 40 miles. My feet would never hurt. He said, sometimes I would do it on purpose just to see if my feet would ever hurt ever again. They never hurt for the rest of my life. It was a very difficult journey. People barely made it there to Medina. Then they finally arrived there. And it's not some glorious scene where they build like some beautiful masjid like this and mashallah. No, no, no. The ground, the carpet of the masjid is dirt. The wall of the masjid is mud. The roof of the masjid is tree trunks filled in with leaves. Food is so scarce. A person has to take a date and split it in half. And you, brother, eat half and I'll eat half and we'll make dua, we survive. It's so tough. Barely surviving. There's not enough water. Until the Prophet ﷺ basically has to do a fundraiser. And a sahabi goes and then pays way over market rate and buys a well from one of the Jews of Medina. He buys a well from him for the sake of the Muslims. Then finally they had enough water. They didn't even have enough water for weeks and weeks, months and months. It's a difficult situation. And then after all of that, the Meccans, they start raiding Medina. They burn down a whole garden. One worker dies in the garden while it's on fire. They keep bringing armies outside of Medina to intimidate the Muslims. They just won't leave them alone. For a year and a half, they keep doing this. A year and a half after arriving, the Prophet ﷺ says, this year we will celebrate Ramadan. We will fast the whole month. And then we will have Eid, and we'll have Taraweeh, and we'll have all of this, like this Ramadan that we're having. And what happens? 2 weeks into Ramadan, a very large army for that time in that part of the world, 1,000 strong, armed to the teeth, shows up to wipe the Muslims off the face of the map. And the Prophet ﷺ goes out there with 313 Sahaba. Most of them don't even have a shirt. They're just wearing like the izar, just tying a cloth from their waist down to their shins, mid-shin. They don't even have enough to cover their shoulders. They're holding sticks in the battlefield. Ukasha ibn al-Muhsin, radiallahu anhu, young companion, he's holding a stick. The Prophet looks at him, he says, Habibi, what are you going to do with that? He says, I'm going to fight, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet says, give it to me. He hands the Prophet the stick. The Prophet says, Bismillah. He shakes it like this, it turns into a sword. Ukasha radiallahu ta'ala anhu testifies, I saw with my own eyes. He gives it to me, he goes, now you can fight. Allahu Akbar. And with sticks in their hand, without shoes in their feet, no armor, 313 hungry. They haven't eaten in days. They go out into the battlefield. It looks like lambs to the slaughter. The Meccans start celebrating before the battle starts. Sound familiar? They start celebrating, the enemy starts celebrating before the battle even begins. They're breaking open the jars of wine. They tell the musicians, start beating the drums. They're already partying. The parade route is already planned out. And this is the situation. كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. How many small, tiny, little, weak, humble forces of faith have overcome and defeated huge, ginormous, faithless armies by the will and the permission of Allah. وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّةٌ. God helped you at Badr even though you were weak and helpless. فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ وَعَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَأَلْزَمَهُمْ كَلِمَةَ التَّقْوَى وَكَانُوا أَحَقَّ بِهَا وَأَهْلَهَا. Allah sent down His peace and His tranquility upon the Messenger, upon the believers. Allah strengthened them and gave them the fortitude necessary to go forward, and they were deserving of it. So much so that they started dozing off in the middle of the battlefield. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one time he was teaching a halaqa. Right? Sheikh Ramadan will relate to this. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu was teaching a halaqa, and somebody fell asleep in the halaqa. You know that one guy who's just always like, and he sits right here in the front. So you see him nonstop. And he's like, right? And Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to him, "Hey, what are you doing?" And he said, "Sakina, Sheikh, Sakina." "Sakina, Sakina, Sheikh." Right? And he said, "Sakina? Oh, Baba, Sakina?" Right? He said, "This is not Sakina." He said, "Let me tell you what Sakina is. Sakina is sleeping in the battlefield with an enemy that looks like it could just eat you alive. That is Sakina." He said, "Sleeping in the majlis of dhikr is ghafla. Hadihi ghafla. Hadihi laysat bi sakina. As-sakina an tanam fil ma'rika, fil maidan, amam al-adu. Hadha sakina." So, but anyways, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that the sword kept falling out of my hand. And he said, "Finally, I just kind of dozed off standing." Right? The only people that I know who can sleep standing are HIV students. Sah Sheikh Ramadan? They're the only ones who I know who are capable of sleeping while standing, HIV students. Okay? But he said, "I fell asleep standing." And he said, "When I woke up, the battle was over." Allahu Akbar. The battle was over. The angels came down, swept through the battlefield. We woke up, we saw 70 plus bodies of the leaders of Quraysh dead lying in the battlefield, and another 70 plus of them tied up waiting for us to just take them in, and the rest of them were running with their tails between their legs. My point is, my brothers and sisters, this is not to say that we shouldn't work and we shouldn't worry, and we shouldn't donate, and we shouldn't pray. No, no, we should keep on worrying, we should keep on working, we should keep on praying, we should keep on donating. We got a lot of work to do. The Prophet ﷺ said that if you started planting a tree and the day of judgment occurred, finish planting your tree. Finish what you started. Muslims aren't quitters. We don't quit. So we got a lot of work to do, but never ever despair. Never ever lose hope. I say we. Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida. We are one ummah. One ummah. You know, I don't even have to give you a hypothetical example. My father's in the hospital. It makes it hard for me to sleep. It makes it hard for me to eat. That's the truth. I don't feel good sleeping. I don't feel comfortable eating. Because I know my father is in the hospital. I should have lost my hunger. I should have lost my appetite. I should have lost my sleep. Knowing that my brothers and sisters are being oppressed halfway across the world. We are a family. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. We are a family. But I was saying that we, as a family, we have been here before. We've been here before. We were here in Badr. We were here in Uhud. We were here in Khandaq. And Allah knows, thousands of times in between then and now, we've been here before. And guess what? After all those situations, we're still here today. The ummah keeps growing because it's the will of Allah. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينَ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ. That God sent His Messenger with guidance and the truth so that it could spread all over this world. They want to extinguish the nur, the light of God, by blowing it out. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will complete His light. Never lose hope. Never lose faith. Stay the course. Keep on working. Keep on struggling. Keep on praying. Keep on hoping. Keep on spreading the message. وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. God will see His will completed. It's just most people don't realize. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that realization here in the final moments of this month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restore the ummah to dignity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the faith of Ashabu Badr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a means for the raising the word of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always protect us from being the means of denigrating the word of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be a means of good. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from ever being the means of bad. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.